the Lord is a strong tower, righteous running.
Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. Daleville Christian Church has now listed this lead pastor position on churchjobfinder.com, if anyone hearing this might consider it. I emphasize this congregation can offer either a part-time or full-time position to learn leading this small but forward-looking congregation. I also would want pastors in the area to consider pastoring two congregations. I know there are small congregations that have pastors serving them, and we could share that full-time pastor position with another congregation. What the United Methodists used to call a two-point charge. Here at Daleville Christian Church, we believe that these words in the Bible come from God, that God who created everything cares about us, and God who cares about us is trying to communicate with us. God uses His Word first. So I would begin with God's Word as we read them in the book of the Psalms, a word that simply means songs. In the book of Psalms we read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, we will not fear. In our day and age, we know more about tsunamis, that they're caused by earthquakes that affect the ocean floor. They didn't know that in Bible times. And yet we understand these Bible words very well. Even if the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, but the Bible quickly adds, we will not fear. Tsunamis are certainly destructive and bring many things to an end. But the Bible says, even if the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, even if our life has changes like a tsunami brings, you see, we won't be afraid because God is our help. God wants us to know that God will help us. It is said about the God I serve that God is a very present help in time of trouble, and I point out any kind of trouble. The Bible speaks of life, death, and life beyond death. So I'm a minister, which means I'm here to apply the Word of God to our situation. I'm here to open the words of God for you to hear, and I hope for you to come to understand what the God I serve wants to say to you today. In your situation, I would want you to know of God's love, to know God's comfort and our Lord's peace. And we believe that what God tells us in His Word is true. Even though parts of the Bible are thousands of years old, they still are able to speak to us. I will mention Jesus as well. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus taught about God. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Heavenly Father." We have an affirmation of our faith that we share each week. Today's is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. God's word for today is from Mark's Gospel in the third chapter, beginning in verse 22 and going through verse 27. So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. That was verse 22. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This sermon began as I was considering Satan. I know that not everyone believes in Satan, but Jesus gives every indication that Jesus believed in Satan. That's good enough for me. Also, I take evil seriously, and I don't know what other people believe about evil, whether they are Jesus followers or not. But I certainly believe in evil. Evil exists. And as it did in the ancient world, it exists today in our world. But I feel that I should mention a few things that I observed about Satan reading the scriptures. Some of them I've already shared with you. Have you ever noticed that the Bible does not show Satan doing anything? Satan is shown to us talking. Talking, and that's pretty much it. Most depictions of Satan and personifications of evil, even on the internet, are usually depictions of monstrosities. I believe I'm right about that. Pictures of evil or of Satan show a horrible-looking being, and yet the name Lucifer refers to light. The light of a star at dawn, and therefore the light is strong enough coming from the star that can still be seen as the sun rises. Satan or Lucifer is a spiritual being and is easily therefore considered attractive looking, not monstrous. This makes sense, does it not? People are not attracted to monstrosities, generally. People are attracted to light more than darkness. I would suggest that Satan should be depicted as fairly good looking. But then you might ask, how will we know that it is Satan that is being depicted? That's an excellent question. And I have a follow-up question. Do we recognize evil as evil when we see it? I suggest this is a problem area for most human beings. See, I see no strong argument for depicting evil as monstrous. The book of Revelation always puts a human face on evil. People will worship the dragon. A false prophet speaks with a mouth. People have the mark of a human face. Excuse me, they have the mark of the beast. People have the mark of the beast. Kings of the earth. People commit adultery with the great prostitute. Evil is depicted as being in and at the hands of people, not monsters. Having said that, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, the very first verse, tells us, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made." Other translations say more clever, more cunning, more subtle. One version even states that the serpent was the most intelligent. But I think the idea is that whenever Satan might drop by, the two of you are not on a level playing field. Your chances of winning an argument or a game of chess or poker with Satan, your chances of winning against Satan are very, very slim. I would guess that if you beat Satan at cards or chess, Satan wanted you to win. And I have the authority of a Twilight Zone episode to back me up on that. But you might ask, but I wouldn't talk to Satan. To which I reply, I'm not sure that we get to decide whether we will talk to Satan. The serpent spoke to Eve. Eve did not start a conversation with the serpent. In the desert areas where Jesus went after his baptism, Satan came to Jesus. And the Bible shows Satan speaking first to Jesus. Matthew 4:3 states, the tempter came to Jesus and said. 1 Peter 5 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. It just doesn't sound like we get to choose when we have to face Satan. But the point the Bible is making is that you and I don't have much of a chance with Satan if we are one-on-one. It isn't even an equal fight. As a matter of fact, the Bible does not suggest that you even fight with Satan when he shows up. Come to find out, all those preachers who suggest that we fight Satan are on very thin Bible ice. Fighting Satan won't hold up in a review of the Bible. Jesus did not fight with Satan when Jesus had the chance. Jesus used the word fight only once. Jesus said that if his kingdom were of this world, the people would fight. It's the apostles who talk about fighting. Fighting a good fight, a fight of faith, not Satan. Paul uses the word struggle and refers to sports like boxing as fighting, not taking on another person in a power battle. There are no references to fighting Satan. And when Paul refers to the full armor of God, the point is to be ready to stand, which is the strongest defensive posture. Not so a Jesus follower may strike or attack. We with the full armor of God are to be kept standing. The sword is used for defense, not just in the attack. I remind you also of the Roman Catholic priests whom I've quoted, who serve as exorcists. I remind you of their words. One priest said, I don't do anything in an exorcism. Our Lord Jesus does it all. So even the exorcist does not recommend taking on a fight with Satan or Satan's minions or demons. And that brings us to today's Bible reading when some of the Jerusalem scribes acknowledge that Jesus has done great and wonderful things. Let's notice that first. The Jerusalem scribes affirm Jesus' power over the demons. However, some of the scribes suggest it's not God's power that Jesus wields, but it is Satan's power. So Jesus reminds them all of a saying that everyone knew at that time, if you want to rob a strong man's house, you must first overcome and tie up the strong man. The ruler of demons, Beelzebub, is strong and powerful, and Jesus suggests that Beelzebub has been assailed and tied up by even a stronger power. The strong one is a phrase that may have been a Messiah code word. This is how Jesus can despoil the demon possessions. And who are the demons' possessions? Those who are possessed. Those who are possessed are the demons' possessions. And Jesus can despoil them, take those people back. Restore them, put them in their right minds, or redeem those who were possessed and restore them to God's purposes. But that's Jesus. What are we to do as Jesus' followers if Satan would strike up a conversation? We can read of the powers Jesus conferred on his disciples and the apostles to deal directly with demons. The Roman Catholic Church has its exorcists. The apostles and the exorcists strongly suggest prayer and calling on the Lord to help. Resist is a word used. Have your armor. Resist the devil. Be steadfast in your faith and be strengthened. Look for the way of escape from the temptation, says the apostle Paul. Jesus didn't fight the devil, so I don't suggest that any of us try to fight the devil. Jesus responded to Satan with scriptures, and we should be ready to respond to Satan with scripture. I point you in the direction of two Old Testament scriptures. One of them I sang to you from the book of Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. The tower, as you recall, was always a part of the defensive works of a walled city, and all cities had walls and towers in the ancient world. In the ancient world, and especially among the Hebrews, the name stood for the person so named. Here, the name of God is a refuge for the followers of God. The Lord God, or Yahweh, is the name God revealed to Moses and to Israel, and by that name God manifested his saving love and his loving care for his people, whom he freed and ushered safely away from Pharaoh's armies. To this God who loves and protects, we may flee as to a strong tower for shelter from the enemy. The prophet Isaiah echoes this wisdom of the book of Proverbs. Now, one commentator stated that we are instructed to run to the Lord when we are afraid. I would suggest that we are not limited to run to the Lord only when we are afraid, such as the fear of an enemy attack. And we are to run to the defensive tower. There may be any number of occasions to run inside to our Lord. That is, to run to the name of the Lord. I suggest we go to the Lord in any circumstance. I've often used Psalm 121 at funerals. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The psalm ends by stating, the Lord will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming in and going out, both now and forevermore. Our Lord knows our exit from earthly life. But the psalm also states, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Looking at Psalm 121. I might mention that the ancients were just as fearful of moonlight, by which they might be moonstruck, believing that lunacy, which word is based on the Latin word for moon, also fevers and seizures were said to be caused by the light of the moon. I will not attempt to verify that ancient fear, except that many people still say that in a full moon is when the crazy people come out. But I do not want to disparage mental illness, which does not care what time of day it is. But we still have that verse, the Lord is your shade at your right hand, the sun will not harm you by day. The lands of the Bible are subtropical. It might help us if I tell you that the land of Palestine is located as close to the equator as our state of Georgia. In Israel, hot winds can raise the temperature to its highest point. Even in the month of January in the city of Jericho, 84 degrees Fahrenheit has been recorded. January. The heat in Israel at midday is enough to kill grass during the hottest months. Sunstroke was a real danger. We may not believe in being moonstruck, but we know sunstroke to be real and even deadly. As a student of military history, soldiers were known to die on the battlefield not from bullets, but from sunstroke. The battles of Gettysburg and the Revolutionary War Battle of Monmouth have recorded examples. Sunstroke was possible in the ancient world as well, and the Israelites were well aware. But the point is that the Lord God cares for his people day and night. One may avoid the dangers of the sun or moon by running into the tower. The righteous, that is God's people, go to the Lord. And they are safe. Verse 7 of some versions of Psalm 121 states, the Lord God will keep you from evil. And what do we pray every week here at Daleville Christian Church? Our Father who art in heaven, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's best if we do not try to fight Satan. I can't help but see in the Psalm and the Proverbs a call to prayer. Lifting one's eyes in Psalm 121 was the stance for prayer. Not closing the eyes as we teach children to do. And it's good to teach children so that they keep their hands off their neighbor. But adults lifted eyes and lifted hands to the Lord. But the proverb states the name of the Lord is a strong tower. When do we call on the name of the Lord, but especially in prayer? We don't have to be afraid to go to prayer. We go to the tower of the name of the Lord for relief, for care, for restoration, for strength, for help. As Psalm 121 states, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Call upon the strong one if Satan should try to strike up a conversation. Do not try to be tough in the midday heat. Run to the tower of our God. There you will find refuge. Our Lord God cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Isn't that a wonderful reminder for a congregation looking for the next lead pastor? Amen.
Name of the Lord is a strong tower, righteous run into it, they are safe. Name of the Lord is a strong tower, righteous run into it, they are safe. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. A strong tower, the righteous one.